Great to be with you all today. We're going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And we're going to read the first 10 verses of Samuel. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare. And visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. And suddenly, the Lord called out, "Samuel." "Yes," Samuel replied. "What is it?" He got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. Then the Lord called out again, "Samuel." Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you, my son," Eli said. "Go back to bed." Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he'd never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am, did you call me?" Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening." And this afternoon, I want to bring a message to you entitled, "The Voice of God." If you or I were asked this afternoon, how often do you hear God, or the voice of God, I wonder what our reply would be. I'm sure our replies would be quite varied. It may be a time in which you sense that you're hearing from God with great clarity. Or it may seem like a time in which the voice of God seems or appears to be somewhat distant. I wonder, as we've traveled through this day towards this service, have we already begun to hear God even before we got here? And as we've gathered this afternoon, have we already heard God in the worship, in the prayer, and in the communion? And if we feel that we haven't heard God, then I wonder what's possibly hindering or even stopping our hearing. What's getting in the way and interfering with the communication? These questions are vital questions. Because unless we're hearing God, we're left a bit to our own devices and to our own judgments. When it's God's instruction and God's direction and God's way and God's voice, I'm sure you'll agree that we desperately need. Now, we'll come back to that. But just for a few minutes, let's set a little context to our reading this afternoon. In 1 Samuel 3, we're introduced to the young boy Samuel, and I'm sure for many of you that this is one of maybe your favorite stories of the Old Testament. And young Samuel is serving the Lord by assisting the elderly priest Eli. Samuel lives in Shiloh, and he's been dedicated by his mother to serve in the tabernacle of the God of Israel. Now, being in Shiloh and living in the tabernacle, in this place of service and worship, is not something that happens to any young boy. Neither is it something that's randomly happened. It's literally as close as possible to get to the presence of God in the Old Testament. So what's his story? Well, Samuel, the young lad, has come to be in this place of service and worship and helping Eli, the elderly priest, from a place of someone else's barrenness and difficulty who's gone in front of him. And if you want to read back in chapter 1, you would find Samuel's mother, Hannah, married to a man named Elkanah. Of course, we know that Elkanah has another wife named Penina. And Penina has children, but Hannah has none. And as a consequence, she lives in this place of distress and bitter barrenness. Not that she's bitter, but that the place is incredibly difficult and painful without the ability to have any children. Yet in that place of difficulty, her heart is dedicated to God. Her heart's dedicated to honoring God despite the difficulty of her circumstances. Her situation's made much worse by the fact that Penina ridicules and taunts Hannah year in and year out because of her barrenness and because of her inability to have children. Each year, the family makes the annual pilgrimage to this place of central importance, Shiloh, to worship and sacrifice to the Lord. And each year, pilgrimage after pilgrimage is spent by Hannah in bitter disappointment over the fact that Penina has children and she has none. 1 Samuel 1 verse 7 says, each time, that means in every annual journey, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. So it's a place of desperate barrenness. Now, the thing with barrenness is that it's a place that will either drive you to God or drive you away from God. It's in that place, if we've ever found ourselves in a place of barrenness for whatever reason, that we just often can't see God. And sometimes we can't see what God is doing through the journey and through the difficulty. But what Hannah doesn't know, and what you can't see at that point, is that God's going to use that place of bitter disappointment and difficulty to bring about purposes she could never have comprehended, some of which she won't even live to see. And how Hannah positioned herself in the difficulty and bitter disappointment is key. In chapter 1, verse 11, we see that her barrenness drives her to God, and she cries out to God. And this is what she says in verse 11 of chapter 1. O Lord of heaven's armies, if you look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I'll give him back to you. He'll be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he's been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. Here's a thought. Samuel is literally going to have lockdown hair all his life, not just for a period. And the result of that prayer in difficult circumstances is that the following year, Samuel's born. And once weaned, he's then dedicated by Hannah to the service of the Lord for the rest of his life. And Hannah promises to raise Samuel as a Nazarite, and he'll become only one of three mentioned in the Bible. The other two are Samson and John the Baptist. And so Samuel is dedicated to the service of the Lord. Now, there's so much more to this story, to that story, and I would suggest that you go back and read through the first two chapters of 1 Samuel, as we're only going to dip into them. But the real lesson for us from Hannah is that difficult circumstances can produce God's purposes at a time we can't always see them. This is true of our current circumstances in this pandemic. But verse 1 of chapter 3 says some incredible words. It says, in those days, messages from the Lord were rare, and visions were quite uncommon. And if you would ask the questions that we asked at the start of the people of the time of Samuel, do you hear the voice of God? The answer that would come back at that time would be no, we don't. The spiritual climate of that time is a time when in the life of God's people and God's leaders, the voice of God has become something of a scarcity. That means that it's a time of great darkness. And spiritual leadership and godly example from the priests of God in the nation in the time of Samuel is at an all-time low. And as a result, the spiritual appetite of the people is in a poor place. It's literally the blind leading the blind. I sometimes feel that way about my chaplaincy team. But you know, that's why shepherds and pastors and leaders need to set the temperature. They need to be seekers of God. There's something else key about verse 1 of chapter 3. And it starts in the New Living Translation with the word meanwhile, which indicates that something else is going on in the background. So whatever's going on in the background, whatever this meanwhile is at this time, it must have something to do with the reason for the voice of God being rare. So maybe we need to take a step back and find out why the voice of God is not being heard. And to do that, we have to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. So if you've got your Bible, we can go back there together. We're just going to have a few verses from 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12. Verse 12 to 14, and it says this. Now the sons of Eli were scoundrels who had no respect for the Lord or for their duties as priests. Whenever anyone offered a sacrifice, Eli's sons would send over a servant with a three-pronged fork. And while the meat of the sacrificed animal was still boiling, the servant would stick the fork into the pot and demand whatever it brought up to be given to Eli's sons. All the Israelites who came to worship at Shiloh were treated in this way. And then we're going to go to verse 17 on its own. So the sin of these young men was very serious in the Lord's sight, for they treated the Lord's offerings with contempt. So it doesn't take a great deal of detective work, and you don't have to be Vera to establish that some of the key factors for the voice of God being rare. Listen to the list. It's pretty scary. The sons of Eli, who were meant to be priests, setting the example of being God's leaders, were actually scoundrels. You might have even heard that phrase from a film, you dirty, rotten scoundrels. They lived with no respect for God. They lived with no respect for the duties as priests. They stole from God. In fact, they stole the offerings of the people to God. They bullied the people of God. They committed adultery in a place set aside for worship and sacrifice. And instead of leading the people, they actually led the people in the opposite direction away from God. Who wants leaders like that? No one. Now, we haven't read all the verses of chapter 2. Suffice to say that God is so incensed by how things are that he warns Eli that he'll put an end to his family, that they'll die before their time, and that no one in the family will ever reach old age. And his scoundrel sons will both die on the same day. This would make an incredible film. But God is a holy God. And this word meanwhile at the start of chapter 3 is a big meanwhile. It literally describes all that's brought us to the place where Samuel is serving God in the tabernacle. There's no surprise by the time we get to chapter 3, verse 1, that it says that in those days the word of God was rare and visions were uncommon. It boils down to unaddressed sin, unacceptable treatment of the house of God, appalling treatment of what belongs to God, and abusive treatment of the people of God, all combined into killing the voice of God. It wasn't because God didn't want to speak. It was down to the leaders and the people's appetite to hear. And basically, there wasn't any. Now, I know we're not Eli's sons, so we can relax a bit. But I wonder, have you and I still got an appetite to hear God? Did you know that if you put a T onto the word hear, you get the word heart? Maybe you've never looked at it like that before. So it begs the question, have you and I got a heart to hear God? If our heart isn't for God, then there'll be little chance that we'll actually hear him. And I wondered, as I prepared this, I've wondered what needs to be addressed in my life, so that there's nothing in the way of me hearing God, that the obstacles are moved out of the way. Now, that's a lot of context. But let's get back to Samuel, who's in the tabernacle. At the outset of chapter 3, Samuel's already sleeping in the tabernacle, the place set aside for God, and he's sleeping right next to the ark of God. And in those days, as I said before, that's as close as it's possible to get to the very presence of God. And suddenly the rarity of hearing God is completely broken, and God bursts into the life of this little lad, set aside by his mother for God. And God calls out Samuel. I would suggest also that it's at that very time that God's bursting into the life of the nation again. Now, Samuel isn't at the stage of being familiar with the voice of God, but I love his reaction. He says, "Yes, what is it?" Or another version puts it, "Here I am." Now, although he doesn't recognize God, that's a great response to have to the voice of God. Yes, here I am. Now, surely we can forgive Samuel, because his experience at this stage has not been to hear of God. But what about Eli? Surely in his lifetime of serving God, experiencing God and serving as a priest means that he'll get who's talking here. But no, in fact, the opposite is true. Samuel runs to Eli in response, and Eli sends him back to bed. Maybe some of you will remember that direction as kids, as children, get back to bed. Especially on Christmas Eve. But God comes again, Samuel. And off he goes back to Eli. Yes, here I am. And again he gets sent back to bed. It takes three times for God to call, and three times for Eli to realize, hey, this is the voice of God. Verse 8 says of chapter 3, then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Hooray! The penny has dropped. Now, we could be kind and say that maybe Eli's been like Scrooge. Maybe he's eaten a bad bit of cheese. Or he's just had a late night or a busy day. Or he was just too tired. Or his hearing aids needed replacing with nice new ones. Maybe we could say, well, Eli is obviously well old, almost blind and past it. Give the man a break. But I don't think it's any of those. I think it's down to all that we've read and didn't read in chapter 2. There was so much stuff so many obstacles and sin had been allowed to get in the way that the voice of God couldn't be recognized and it definitely couldn't be heard. But the advice that Eli gives is something he hasn't done for some time. He tells Samuel, "This time, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Listen, this is really key. We've got to address anything that gets in the way, that restricts the voice of God. And we've got to get back to listening. We've got to get back to being all ears to God. And so Samuel's now well placed to hear God. And so a third time, he goes back to bed, and this time, as God speaks, Samuel utters the words, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And today, for us in this time of pandemic, we as individuals and as a church can find a place where the word of God can still come with fresh clarity and with fresh vision and with fresh challenge. However, if we're to hear the voice of God, we've got to address the blockages. And when that's done, there needs to be a fresh determination to listen. I keep here thinking I hear, but Elaine tells me that I don't listen. I don't agree with her. But to hear and take action when we hear God is a good thing, even if it's uncomfortable. Because sometimes when God says things to us, it's uncomfortable. Look what happened to Samuel in chapter 3, verse 11. And you can go there as well if you've got your Bible. Verse 11 of chapter 3, it says, "Then the Lord said to Samuel, I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I've warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings." It's like, Samuel, don't you wish you hadn't listened now? This is way too challenging. It's way too scary to follow. Now, I think if I was Samuel, I think I would hope that the morning just wasn't going to arrive. The last thing I would want now if I was Samuel was to bump into Eli on the way to breakfast. But unfortunately, that's exactly what happens. Verse 15 of chapter 3. Samuel stayed in bed until morning. I wonder how long he slept in or tried to sleep in. Then he got up, opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." "Here I am," Samuel replied. "What did the Lord say to you? What did he tell you? Tell me everything. And may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me." So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold back anything. "It is the Lord's will," Eli replied. "Let him do what he thinks best." Finally, Eli has to accept that God has spoken, that someone who's been able to hear him has heard him, and that God must be God in the outcome. The sad truth of the situation is, however, is that it need never have got to this stage. But thank God that's not the end of the story. If you look at verse 19 of the same chapter, chapter 3, and verse 20, it says this: "As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, And everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. And all Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And verse 21, the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and give messages to Samuel there at the tabernacle. And so the result of Samuel's hearing and listening to God and acting on what God has said is that he goes on to grow up in God. And God is with him in everything that he does. And everything that he says, you can count on. In fact, the whole of Israel recognize him as a servant and prophet of God. But here's a great thing. Samuel not only grows himself, he grows the nation. That's great leadership. And of course, verse 21 said that the Lord then continued to appear and give messages to Samuel at the tabernacle. Now, do you recall verse 1 and how it started? It said that in those days, messages from the Lord were rare, very rare, and visions were uncommon. But by the end of the chapter, we have the Lord continuing to appear and give messages. The blockages have gone and the clarity has come. In conclusion, those wonderful words. What's the message for us today? Well, it's this. I believe that wherever we are at this afternoon, if it's in our hearts to address anything that's breaking and blocking the communication, or to ask the Holy Spirit to highlight anything in us that needs to be removed, then we'll hear again. We'll hear again with clarity. But then it'll require us to act on what we hear, and that's uncomfortable. But the only way, only that way will the voice of God impact me and you. And only then will the voice of God impact our culture and the communities around us. Samuel started with a yes, here I am. He's now displaying an attitude of surrender and obedience. Now you remember the list that we read about Eli's sons. The scoundrels. It was a scary list. But listen to where obedience and addressing, hearing the voice of God led Samuel. He became the last of the judges and the first of the prophets who so strongly influenced Israel, God's people. He reformed Israel's idolatrous worship. His obedience brought about God-influenced change for generations beyond himself. He anointed the first two kings of Israel, Saul and David. And when he died, all Israel gathered for his funeral. It's just as well it wasn't the pandemic where only maybe 15 or 30 were allowed, because there was quite a few more of them. And so what steps can we take in positioning ourselves to hear God? And here's our list. Let's do all we can to avoid getting into the place of where the sons of Eli were, not in their scoundrelness, but in hearing God. Where coming to the house of God has maybe lost a bit of its meaning, and the value of the voice of God has maybe become a bit neglected and ignored. Let's seek not to be flippant or haphazard in what belongs to God. Let's avoid being like Eli, who's been around the house and the busyness of God for so long, he's become a little compromised and complacent. Instead, let's address anything that could stand in the way of the voice of God, especially in our heart. Remember, Proverbs says, guard your heart, because it's the wellspring of life. Let's follow the example of Samuel and once again say, yes, Lord, here I am. Speak, because your servant is listening. And then let's ask God for the courage to obediently do whatever he says. But let's not forget his mom, Hannah, who in difficulty and bitter disappointment and barrenness cried out to God from a heart that wanted to serve him. And in doing so, she paved the way for the voice of God in her difficult circumstances to come once again into the nation and to set the temperature for years to come beyond her lifetime. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for these incredible stories in your word and this incredible story from the Old Testament. And we recognize that it speaks to us that today, God, we don't want anything to stand in the way of us hearing you. We hate the times when we can't seem to find your voice, and we know the circumstances sometimes can cause that. But we don't want to knowingly have anything in our hearts that stands in the way of hearing you. So Holy Spirit, today and through the coming days, and as we travel through this Advent season now, teach us to hear your voice. Teach us to recognize you, Holy Spirit. Teach us to allow you to cause the things that just need to move to go. And our hearts would say today, speak, Lord. Speak in the quietness of the times that we find ourselves alone. Speak in the challenges of sickness and illness and being confined and restricted at this time. Speak to us, we pray. And cause us in the listening to have a heart that wants to be obedient, to follow you in all that we do, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.